Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things moved me, Paul speaking, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Imagine that. I don't count my life dear unto myself, so I can finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I would just like to preach to you for a few minutes, if the Lord will help me, on the topic of the value of life. And Brother Jerome is going to pray for us.
Lord, we pray right now over this message, God. Lord, that you would just speak to us, God. Use Pastor Lord tonight and anoint him as he speaks the word that you've given him. Lord, that we've come in here with open ears and an open spirit, God, to accept this word. Lord, whether it steps on our toes or not, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks for standing. And thank you again for trusting us and allowing us to be a part of your life in such an important way. We really do appreciate it. We do consider it an honor. Anyway, let me start by saying this. I had a little epiphany today. It's what Brother Pazzi would call an epiphany. And that was probably all of us in this room, I think I could safely say, are pro-life. Meaning, we believe in the sanctity of life. We don't believe in abortion. Why? Because that's a life. No man has the right to take a life. We're pro-life. But I think I found an error in our thinking. We're pro-life, but we're not really pro-living. And I'm going to explain that to you in a few moments. We value life. We value our lives. We value other people's lives. But we don't understand the value of living. Now, in this text, and I want to say hello to everybody that's watching. We miss you and can't wait until the day that you are able to return and be with us. We look forward to that. Amen. Anyway, this text is really unique, in my opinion, because of the way Paul articulates. And I want to try and give you a little brief look, if I may, into Paul's mind. And you may say, well, how do you know what's in Paul's mind? Because the Holy Ghost, that's how. So the first thing Paul says, and you have to go back and you can read the rest of it if you want to. He says, none of these things that are without, move me. Meaning they don't drive me. There's nothing, Paul said, in this life that drives me. And he says, because I don't count my life dear unto myself. So, can you all take these? They don't drive me because of how I value my own life. Now, that didn't mean that Paul didn't value his life. He did. But he valued his life to the extent of what he was called and privileged to do for the kingdom of God. So he didn't value his life when it came to himself. And I want you to understand that we're in a little brief season here. I think it's important because this really picks up maybe where we left off last Wednesday. Sunday, I'm excited about, going to be completely different. And I feel very passionately about what God has given for Sunday. And I think you'll be thoroughly blessed and enriched by it. But tonight, I need you to focus with me and work with me to understand what I'm trying to relay with the Lord's help. So Paul said, I don't count my life dear unto myself. And then he says, so that I might finish my course with joy. So again, to be repetitive, Paul said, I want to finish my course. I want to do so with joy. I don't want to complain about going to church. I don't want to complain about being asked to set up tables afterwards for fellowship on Thursday. I don't want to complain because they're going to take up a special offering on Sunday for new drums. I said that out loud, didn't I? Yeah, they are going out. I don't want to complain because I was asked to help fix the baptismal tank. I don't want to complain because they're doing outreach on Saturday. I don't want to complain for any of those things. Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. And the only way that I can do that is when I don't value my life, meaning I don't value my life in doing the things that I choose to do or set out to do, but I value my life to the extent of doing what God has called me to do. Now, back to my pro-life statement. You can value life, meaning I think the baby has the right to live, and I, of course, do. But we don't value it to the point where we understand that after that baby is born, you want that child to have a quality of life, which is probably just as important, if not more so, than living and breathing. God didn't call us to live and breathe. He did call us to have a quality of life, but not a quality of life as in how much can I compound my bank account and how much success can I have. But the quality of life God wanted us to have was to the extent that we take joy, as Paul did, in fulfilling God's will for our lives. That's how we finish our course with joy. That's what Paul was aiming to do. He wanted to finish excited about dying for the kingdom of God, because he knew that he was fulfilling God's will in his life, and that was the quality of life that Paul valued. He said, I did not buy stock in materialistic things. I didn't buy stock into self-preservation. I didn't buy stock into self-advancement. I didn't buy stock into any of those things. My stock has been purchased in the kingdom of God. And as long as that stock goes up, then I rejoice in that. That's why Paul could rejoice in tribulation and things along those lines. And he says, so I can finish my course of joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, you will not see my face no more, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. What was Paul saying? He was saying, I will not go to my grave with any question, did I witness to every single person that God called me to witness to? I won't go to my grave without any question, did I do all that God called me to do? I am innocent of the blood of all men. If God sent me, I went. If God called me into thus or thus, I did thus. I won't have any regrets, because when we get to the end of our road, the only thing that matters is, did we do all that God had called us and commissioned us to do? Now, that should not be a discouraging word. It shouldn't be a discouraging message. The only way it's a discouraging message is if we value our life living, but we don't value the quality of life that God had purposed for us. Meaning, we're more interested in living and breathing and achieving and accomplishing than we are doing God's will in our life. And it's important that we can take an inventory of our own self and look at ourselves and say, am I doing all that God has called me to do? And then not forget about that 2 weeks from now. So Paul said, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. And then he says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. Whether it be good things or whether it be tough things. whether it be things you wanted to hear or things you didn't want to hear as well. All the counsel of God, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, he said. And this is my thought for you tonight. Take heed unto yourself, each and every one of you, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now, you might not be an overseer of the flock of God, but there are people in this world who God has ordained you to oversee. People who God has placed in your life for you to care for their soul, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He has purchased with his own blood. So my point is this, and I'll tell you, for the first time that I can ever remember, I'm actually reading a scripture in a few moments that I read on Sunday in Ashbyville, and I didn't even realize it until just a couple minutes ago. But I just kind of got to thinking for some reason or another, and I wish that early in my younger years that God would have, well, he probably tried, I'm sure, but I wasn't capable of receiving or applying. But the words of David in Psalms 34, I wish God would have really, or 39, I'm sorry, would have really helped me to understand and to process more. Meaning, and let me read it to you really quickly if I can. It's Psalms 39 and 4 and 5. He says, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. All of the things that we place stock into each year of our life, what that year means. I was with somebody the other day. We were having a business luncheon, and he said to the waitress, you have senior citizens discounts. I actually qualify now. So I'm not begrudging you when you reach that place in life. If you qualify for it, my God, get it. Go after it. But I certainly don't want to buy stock in the moment that I get to pull out the senior citizens discount card. You know, that's just something that comes and I'll accept it because it's come my way. But make me to know my days and mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. The reason you have countless millions of people that will go to hell because they don't live thinking they could die today. They don't live, and if you live 50, 60, 70 years, they don't live like there's really an eternity. They don't live like the Lord is really coming back for his church. They live carelessly. They live presumptuously. They live recklessly. And when you're younger, you tend to do that. You don't think about things the way you do as you get older. But as you get older, you begin to consider your life. And then you begin to consider if you've done it all right and if you've done all that you should have done. And then you begin to have regrets of the things you did. And that's normal. You're going to have regrets because we live and we learn on the fly. But I wish when I was 20, 25, God would have helped me to understand that the measure of my days, that I would be able to process that they'll come. Here's why. If I could fully process that, I would approach everything in life differently. I wouldn't do things the same way. I wouldn't respond to some things the same way. I have found myself in the past 5 or 6 years operating with a level of compassion that I never have in my entire life. And I think it's because, and I'm not talking about feelings and emotions. That's not compassion. That's sensual. That's different. But I'm saying every person deserves an opportunity to fall at the mercy of the cross. Every person deserves an opportunity to embrace the grace of God without hesitation and without shame and without guilt. It's something, as Paul said, he paid for it with his own blood. And so I look at people differently, and I don't look at people for the sin that they commit or the wrong that they do, but I look at them with eyes that says you still have a potential that you can reach, and God can still bring you beyond this, and God can still bring you through this. But I think a part of that is, as you get older, you begin to evaluate the measure of your days more. And so as Paul, I don't want to get to my grave and be guilty of somebody's blood. I don't want to get to my grave and be guilty of holding somebody hostage for their sin or their mistakes or their wrong. No matter how egregious it might be, no matter how wrong it might be, no matter how many people they've offended, that's not up to me, because I didn't pay for their soul with my own blood. Jesus Christ did. And I don't want to be guilty of that. And so I can really relate to David's words, that I may know how frail I am. As I always say, I believe with my whole heart that as you get older, aches and pains are God's way of telling you you're going to die. I'm being serious. See, when you're younger, I was never in the hospital. I never had health problems. The moment I hit 42, it's like someone flipped a switch in my life. And I remember waking up and crawling out of bed for like a year, and I'd get out and be like, oh. And it's like I had no strength in my hip. So finally, after a year and a half of that, I'm like, man, I'm going to go to the doctors and have this checked out. And so I went to the doctor, and he said, yeah, you got some mild arthritis there, Star. I'm like, dang, is it going to get worse? Oh, yeah. He said, you'll probably need a hip replacement someday. Well, thanks for the encouragement. That's what we do. That's what we do in church. We don't want reality. We just want someone to fluff it all up. But the reality is a reality. That's what it is. And from that, and then he said to me, and I swear on everything that's true, the man jinxed me and cursed me. He said, just so you know, it's all downhill from here. He said, it just gets worse. He wasn't lying. Now, I'm not falling apart, but I'm telling you, I got a multitude of issues. I do. I'm going to the doctors next week for tests over here, and the doctor over there for tests over there. Nothing. I don't think I'm dying, just for the record. But I'm just saying, some days you feel like it's close. What's my point? My point is, I don't know what you do as you get older, but me, the more pains I have, it reminds me my end's coming someday. Oh, that's pretty gloom and doom, isn't it? It's reality. It's reality. And I wish that God would have helped me as a young man be able to process and understand the measure of my days. I wish he would have helped me, and he probably tried, I'm sure. He would have helped me make me to know mine end. I wish I could have grasped it more than I do now. But I didn't. I'm glad, better late than never. I'm glad I've arrived. But I'm saying, when you get there, you look at life differently. Young people make a lot of mistakes that's self-destructive to their life because they don't understand the measure of their days. They don't understand that these things can haunt them for the rest of their life, that scars will exist and forever and ever, and it only is an act of God that can make those wounds go away. Self-inflicted wounds. What am I saying? I'm saying we value life. I'm pro-life. But I ain't doing nothing to help that baby have a quality of life. So, let me read the next verse. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. My age as nothing. That means it's just a blink of an eye for God, who has been from everlasting to everlasting. My life that I think will last forever is just, it's a blink of God's eyes. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Every man at his best state, on my best day of living righteously, my best day of living for God is still vanity. Why? Because somewhere in there, I've got a personal ambition. Somewhere in there, I want someone to high-five me and tell me, you did a good job. Somewhere in there, I'd like my name, you know, to be known amongst people. I'm not saying me. I'm just talking, you know, generally. Somewhere in there, it's about what makes my clock tick, not what God, you know what I'm saying? I can be doing the will of God, but still be seeking some type of gratitude out of it in the process. Why? On our best days, it's still altogether vanity. We can't control that part. We're human. It's natural to want a pat on the back. It's natural for God to want to do great things with you. Whatever great means, greatness is God's will. But in our eyes, it's always position and prestige. In our eyes, it's climbing higher and higher on the ladder. But greatness, as David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Because he understood greatness is being in God's will, in God's house, being there all the time, whatever that means to you. But until we start to ponder our life and our future, looking back and looking ahead, until we start to really ponder and process that, it may never really mean something. And hopefully for all of us, it won't come too late, but it will come on time. And I don't know if it will really come too late, but I don't want to squander the days that God gives me. I don't want to squander my, hey, I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to take breaks and we're going to do things. But by and large, I've got to be driven by the will of God. I've got to be driven by doing what God wants. It's not about what I want. A man's best days is vanity. So I thought about, you know, the price that we pay, whatever that might be, you know. I mean, for some people, it's my wife, it was moving where she never really wanted to be. She didn't want to move away from home. She didn't want to move out in the country. Heck, I don't know what the heck I was thinking. But I was driven. I was driven by my calling. But I can tell you now, there was probably some vanity in there. Even if I didn't realize it, it was. Because David don't lie. And so, I guess I would say this. As we march forward, and as we embrace another year, which is only going to be a matter of 1 minute to the next, everything's not going to go away. It's not all going to change. I'm going to just completely take it all out of you tonight. I'm going to just deflate your whole balloon. Coronavirus isn't just going to disappear. The Lord's still coming for His church. And wickedness will still abound. The love of many is still going to wax cold. But for you and I, I think it's an opportunity for us to say, God, help me to know my end and to measure my days. And help me to have that view that Paul had. Going back to it just for a moment. Back to Acts 20 bread. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. So that I may finish my course with joy. That's interesting, isn't it? Paul didn't want to just finish his course. But he said, I want to do it with joy. I want to do it with my head held high, knowing that I fulfilled the will of God in my life. As Paul, where are you headed? Going to Jerusalem. What are you going to do there? They're going to put me in prison. They're going to eventually kill me. Why are you going? It's all good. I've done all that God's called me to do. I'm not worried about it. Well, don't you want to live? It's like, and I don't want anybody to feel like I'm targeting, because I'm not. But it's like this whole COVID thing, lock myself in my house for the next 2 years. No, thank you. I don't want to be so obsessed with staying alive that I completely sacrifice my life. I don't want to do it. Because you know why? Because I don't know when's going to be my last day. I don't want my any of my children's grandparents slip off into eternity. And they say, well, you couldn't see them for the last year and a half because of COVID. They were busy living. Yeah, they were breathing. But there was no quality of life. None. Read a story in the Star Beacon of all places. Couple was married like 60 or 70 years. Anybody see that article? I didn't read the whole thing. And I'm a window shopper. I read the front page. And he got COVID, was in the hospital, and the man could not die with his wife by his side. They made him die alone to keep him safe. I'm saying we as a nation are, I'm sorry if I'm boring you, I'm going to close. We are so obsessed with life that we've forgotten how to live. Truth. We are so obsessed with breathing and waking up tomorrow that we forgot about everything in between. I don't want to be, and I thank God, bless you, Brad. Brett, I know your name. I thank God that He has privileged me to be able to work for the kingdom of God in ministry. Because when I get to the end of my days, I've told everybody, and this, well, I want to lay in my bed dying, and I want to call everybody that I've ever poured into my hospital room, and I want to leave them with a parting message. That is what I. If you pray for anything for me, you pray that. That's what I want. Every person I've ever poured, I want to call them in, and I want to tell them, don't you ever give up on God. Don't you ever give up because you messed up. Don't you ever feel so defeated you think God can't use you again. Don't you ever let this world swallow you up. Don't you let fear come inside of you and consume you. No, you give God everything you've got to give Him until you breathe your last breath. That's what I want to do. That to me is living. That's living. Because you know why? When I'm gone, I can't do anything else. Nothing. Men, we feel fulfilled when we get to do. We do. You know, you want to mess a man up, ladies? Tell him you don't need his help. I'm telling you, you'll mess him up so bad he won't know what to do with himself. What do you mean you'll need my help? What, are you going to fix it? The fact is, men feel good when they're needed. That's a fact. I was telling someone the other day, that's why so many preachers I know that pastored, they really struggle because they poured their whole life into their church. And when they finally retire from that, they don't know what to do with themselves. And they feel completely ineffective. I told Colin, that's why I'm never retiring. I'm not. I may take a few extra weeks throughout the year, but I'm not retiring. Retiring for what? My wife's like, the heck you aren't. Told you. I know her. What's the value of life to you? Is it breathing or is it giving life? I told the Ashtabula Church a couple weeks ago, I'm not saying this for anything other than I mean it. I love to love people. I get an amazing amount of joy loving people, hugging them. You think whatever you want of me don't matter. That's what makes me tick. It really does. I don't know why, but I just love it. I love an opportunity to pour into somebody. Might be tough. All life's lessons aren't easy. But I know I'm leaving something. A little scatter of something, whatever it might be. What's the alternative? Go do my own thing, make my own money, and then get to the end of my days and I have nobody that I've poured into or invested in. So, again, I hope I'm not boring you. What's the value of your life? You just want to breathe? Or do you want to finish your course the way Paul did? If you do, don't let your life's failures hold you back. Become determined. Become determined that I'm going to forge ahead every day of my life. We really need to have the attitude of Job. Though he slay me, yet will I still trust him. I'm not in this, God, for what I can get, but I'm in it for what I can give and what I can pour back into the kingdom of God. So you go ahead and take my life. That's not going to change my direction one bit. I'm still going to trust you. And you know, I'll try and quit. When people look to you, when people love you and they honor you, presence, that's not where it's at. I mean, I like him, don't get me wrong. I'll take any gifts you want to give me. Just don't give me angels or crosses. That's just not me. Sorry. Somebody's like, well, he took the angel back. What was I saying? Presence. I said I didn't want presence. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I probably bored you to death anyway. You're all probably half asleep anyway. So, let me try and leave you this. Let those words of Paul become a part of your life. Let them become a part of your life. Purpose in your own self. That I'm going to finish this race however I finish it. But I'm going to do it for God. And I'm going to start right now. I'm going to make sure tomorrow I'm a better Christian than what I was today. And then on Friday, I'll be a better Christian than what I was on Thursday. And on Sunday, I'll worship better than what I did last Sunday. And every day that God blesses me with the opportunity to breathe, I'm going to make a pledge, God, I'm going to try and give you a little bit more of myself, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and no matter what, I will not give up. I will not quit. I will finish my race and finish my course, and I will do it with joy. Would you stand with me? Something has to drive you. Just ask yourself, what is it? Just know. Know within yourself. Again, I want to reiterate, I'm not saying one bit that it's a crime to have fun, to go get away, to have vacation. You just can't live on vacation. You ever see somebody posting all over Facebook about their vacation? Oh, I can live here forever. No, you can't. No, it's not where God put you. If God wanted you in Barbados, He would have put you there. So what do? You find the best of Ashabilakai you can find. What is that? Somebody, one person, tell me what that is. Good cheese factory. No. Well, you're all kind of close. It's God's people. It's the opportunity to save somebody from the pits of hell, to teach them the joy of the Lord, to teach them what it feels like when God fills them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to teach them how free they'll feel when they make that decision to go down in that watery grave. That's why we got to get it fixed. And they come back out knowing and believing, I've just left it all right there. I'm a different person now. God gave me a new lease on life. Does anybody feel it? Come on, let's give the Lord some praise right now. Let's give God some praise. God, help us to know the value of life. Help us to know the value of life. Help us, God, to understand your purpose for each and every one of us, God. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. And here I am. Here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me and take my heart, take my life. Away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Take my heart, take my life as a living.
Take my life, all my dreams. Can you say that? All my plans. God, I give them and I place them in your hands. Hallelujah. I trust you with my life. I trust you.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you, oh my life. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you, my life. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Think about Paul. He wasn't known for his government job. He was known for his sacrifice. His name carries on into eternity because of what he gave the kingdom of God, because of his stripes, because of his shipwrecks, because of his imprisonments. We take joy in those things, but Paul, I'm sure, wasn't super excited about it all at the moment. What am I saying to you? You might not be super excited about some of the things that God takes you through, but one day there'll be a testimony to somebody, and one day it's going to help somebody, whether they decide to quit or they keep on serving God, whether they decide to have faith or they decide to give up. We need to understand what we're doing is we are laying up treasure. Hallelujah. And there's no greater joy than leaving a legacy that blesses the kingdom of God, somebody else's life, that somebody can glean from my valley, from my trial, from my tribulation. Oh, that's what gives me joy in all of it. Amen. Why don't you worship the Lord together one more time? Hallelujah. Oh, can we lift our hands and give God praise right now? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us to know, God, the measure of our days and what our end is. God, that we may really understand the value of living for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Oh, people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. Oh, yes, we worship you, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good, you are good, all the time, and all the time, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Oh, yes, you, Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Oh, people
from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
Oh Lord, we worship you,
we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. Lord, you are good all the time and all the time. You are good, you are good all the time and all the time. You are good,
Lord, you are. Lord, you are good and your mercy enduring forever. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, you are good and your mercy enduring forever. Oh, people
from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
Oh Lord, we worship you,
we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. And you are good all the time and all the time. You are good, you are good, all the time, and all the time. You are good,
you are good,
all the time, and all the time. You are good, you are good, all the time, and all the time.
You are good, you are good,
all the time, and all the time.
You are good, you are good, all the time, and all the time, you are good. Hallelujah, Lord.
Praise the Lord, church, praise the Lord. Let's give God some praise for what he did tonight. Amen. 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 You can stay in praise, you know, for as long as you want. But we're really going to encourage you guys to come out tomorrow.